Welcome to Screw the Clout. I'm your host, Steve Stanulis. Each week, we're going to have amazing guests share their stories of saying, screw it. Tune in each week. This is Screw the Clout. We have another amazing guest this week. We have actor, model, sports psychologist, which I don't even know what the fuck that is. You're going to have to explain to me, Jake. Jake Jensen, well, thank you for coming on today, and we appreciate some time.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So we're gonna delve into a lot of these things I just mentioned, and as well as, you know, we have a lot of listeners that are obviously trying to break into the film business. You know, all the modeling, all these different things. And again, obviously, you are a great person to speak to. The first thing I ask everybody is, when you were growing up, A, did you have aspirations of doing this? And if so, were they supported by your parents and your family?
Yeah, you know, growing up, I did a little bit of acting, just like community theater in school. But I always liked performing. I always liked being in front of a group. But then I got really into sports. So I was a tennis player. I got a scholarship to play in college. And sports kind of took over. And so I kind of put acting on the back burner, back seat. But once I finished college, I tried playing a little bit of professional tennis, kind of realized that probably wasn't going to pay the bills for very long. And that's where I started getting a little bit of that idea back to go to pursue acting. But I didn't really know at that point, you know, where to start.
Right.
You know, I'm 24, 25 years old, and it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? But it was definitely kind of percolating in my mind, and I was thinking about it a lot.
Where was home for you?
I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, which there's actually quite a bit of TV film there, but I didn't really know anything about the industry. We obviously have the Sundance Film Festival I grew up going to. So that was, you know, always like, oh wow, that looks such a
glamorous
cool vibe, Sundance. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was mostly, it wasn't really an acting mecca, let's put it that way.
Right. So yeah, I mean, obviously, one of the biggest festivals in the world. But again, if you wanted to start an acting career, it was definitely not the place to be. Yeah. It's like almost like here, I'm in New York, but you know, I live in Atlantic City, New Jersey. It's just not, yeah. You're there, but you're not sort of speak. Yeah. So you get into tennis. You're playing tennis in high school. You said, did you go to college and play tennis or no?
Yeah, so I played 4 years on a scholarship.
Uh-huh.
Then I coached tennis for a little while after at the University of Utah. And then I decided, I was very interested in the psychological side of sports. I thought, you know, I could have been a lot better player if I had just been mentally tougher and stronger and understood that. So I got a master's degree from the University of Utah in sports psychology, and then went to the University of Tennessee for my PhD. And at that point, I was like, still acting was in the back of my mind, but I'm like, I need something that's going to be a career and pay the bills. And I don't regret doing it. It actually has worked out really well. But I headed to Tennessee, but I was definitely really starting to go, okay, I'm now getting to mid to late 20s. If I don't like pursue this soon, it's not that it's ever too late, but I need to get going on this.
Right. So again, you come out, you get your degree in sports psychology from a very, very prestigious college. Are your parents at that point like, dude, you just got a degree in sports psychology. What are you doing?
Definitely my dad. My mom's always been like, do it. My mom's very much like, you know, it's great that you have this degree and I want you to be happy with what you're doing, but she's always been very supportive of me trying whatever I want to try. My dad's always been a little bit more like, can't you just simplify and concentrate on one thing? Because I've always been someone who loves to do a lot of different stuff.
Right.
He's very much like, you pick a career and you stick with it.
My dad was like that. So my dad was very old school. And, you know, I came from a family of tops, right? So, you know, it was like, all right, you're playing high school football, great. I was actually working at Chippendales, great, but you're going to be a cop. That's it. That's what you're doing. Your brother's a cop. I'm a cop. Your uncle's a cop. You're a cop. So, you know, the idea of doing anything out of that world. So I totally get all that stuff. So When did you realize, or what made you say, okay, listen, I've taken this tennis as far as I can go? What was that point where you said, okay, I'm kind of, mine was, I tore both my ACLs. I was like, I'm done playing football. Was there something that you came to a crossroad and said, all right, I'm going to move on?
Yeah, I flew to Australia and played some tournaments over there. They have these money tournaments. They're professional, but they're kind of like the minor leagues of tennis. And I played those, and I won matches. It wasn't like I was embarrassed by any means, but I remember flying back to LA, and I was just like, do I want to keep doing this, flying around the world, chasing, you know, victories? And I realized, you know, college tennis, I was decent, I was pretty good, but suddenly I'm out there, you know, playing these money tournaments, and there's players from France and Japan and Australia and all around the whole world. And I'm just like, wow, this is, you know, now I'm one of thousands trying to do this rather than one of hundreds doing it. And I think it just hit me that, you know, I'm a good player, but to get to that place in the top 100 where you can actually make a living doing it, it just seemed like such a huge gulf to try to get across. But I still, you know, I never lost my passion or love for tennis. It's still what I love to do. I still play four or five times a week. And
right.
I actually just played a tournament this last weekend. And so, but in terms of like, oh my gosh, this is not necessarily going to sustain me career-wise. That hit me kind of, I would say that mid to late 20s.
You had mentioned if you would have gotten into sports psychology earlier, it would have changed your outlook on what you were doing tennis-wise. What would have been the biggest difference knowing the sports psychology of it that you would have done differently playing tennis?
Well, I know for me, the sports psychology training I've done on myself, I'm much better at staying in the present moment, not worrying about past mistakes, not starting to think about the future. You know, athletes, the minute you think about a misplay, a missed shot, that throws you out of your zone. And then if you start thinking about, oh, I've got this, or I can't come back, the future is also not where you want to live. You want to stay right there in the moment. And I, you know, I just, with different relaxation techniques, different imagery visualization, different skills that I've learned, I'm much better at that now than I was even in college. But I think if I could have learned those skills in college or even earlier, younger, it would have helped me a lot as an athlete. And that's one reason I'm still very passionate about helping athletes now or any performers, because I know what a difference it can make.
So you decide from breaking into the second hardest business in the world, which is professional sports. And you said, you know what? I'm going to fight. I can't. It's too much. Let me get into the third hardest business in the world to break into. Let me become an actor. But before you do that, I believe modeling was first, correct?
You know, all growing up, or especially, yeah, in my, people are always like, oh, you're a good looking guy, you should try modeling. And I was always like, oh no, I'm an athlete, I'm not going to go do that. But then I finally, I was just like, again, I was like, well, if I'm ever going to do this, I should do it now. So I actually, during grad school, I got an agency in Nashville. There are a lot of print work, country music videos, that type of stuff. I was
and
like,
you totally fit that. Like,
totally.
If you came on and told me, like, hey, I'm the biggest country star, you know, I got my new album coming out, I could totally see you right now with like a cowboy hat and, you know, a guitar and, you know, strumming a song for me right now. But
no. So Tennessee was actually a pretty good market for me to get my foot in, because I immediately booked, you know, not a ton of stuff, but I was consistently booking jobs, and I'm like, hey, I can actually make a little bit of extra money on doing this. But then I finished my PhD and I couldn't get a job in sports psych. It was like a really bad time to get a job. So
right.
I moved down to Florida. My parents had a place in Florida, so I just stayed at their place. And I, like, my first or second day in Miami, I booked a national commercial for Fiat with Pitbull and Charlie Sheen. And
oh, cool.
I was like, wow, this is, I mean, it played all through the NBA finals. It was a pretty big, you know, national commercial. I was like, hey, this is
right.
Pretty fun. But, you know, again, Miami is lots of print work, lots of commercials. But just being on set of some of those big commercials, that really got my acting bug going. Like, hey, the modeling's fun, but I want to be an actor. Like, I really want to be and a commercial actor to start with, but then I want to do more than just commercial work.
Right. Yeah, and again, like I said, people don't realize. And again, the biggest myth with commercials, right, is that they think that every single time they show the commercial, you're getting paid, and which obviously is the biggest, obviously. Because I remember doing a commercial. My first actual commercial was for IBM, and they had like this director of, he was like the Steven Spielberg of commercials. I don't think I ever saw the commercial one time, but I think I got like 35 grand. And they kept picking it up, I guess, because for the amount of money they paid this dude. If you could stick with actual commercials at that point, but I could see how now you're on stage, now you're on set and you're starting to get the whole bug. But
Yeah.
again, national commercials is not the worst way to be.
No. And at that time, I mean, I was super stoked to book that. I mean, it was, I think there was like four rounds of callbacks just for this one commercial. And but that led to some good stuff in Miami, because immediately then my agency's like, hey, this guy can book. And then that led to other bookings. So I did pretty well. With the commercial and print side of working there.
It's funny because you have a PhD, all these different things. I have a GD, GED, which is, I guess it's close. No, not really. But the point is, okay, so you're doing all that stuff. So now you have all this schooling behind you. You're doing the modeling. You're transitioning to acting. Now what comes? So you're at modeling. What point do you go now? Do you go this way to the acting, or now this way to start getting to the sports psychology? Which you
I wanted to move to California, as an actor of
okay.
California. Theater, obviously New York, but for film TV, LA is still the place to be. But moving to LA without a job and only relying on acting is very intimidating. So I actually started looking for sports psychology jobs in California that would get me to California. And then I thought that's when I can get there, but then actually pursue acting without worrying about how I'm going to pay my rent or how I'm going to support myself.
Right.
So I got a job, first of all, at Chico State, which is Northern Cal. So I was driving to San Francisco like three, four times a week. It was a 6-hour commute. I started taking acting classes in San Francisco. I again did book some commercials, a couple short films, but I couldn't sustain that, 6-hour drive just to, even for a casting, I'd drive 6 hours for a 10-minute audition. And it was like, I can't sustain this. So fortunately, that only lasted 9 months. And then I got a job at Cal State Northridge, which I'm actually at right now. I'm still here. And it worked out great because I was close to LA. They were very flexible with me teaching some online classes, evening classes, so my days could be fairly open for auditions and things. And I'm super lucky and blessed and grateful that I was able to have a job that I really enjoyed, but that would also give me enormous flexibility to pursue acting.
That's the biggest thing for a lot of people. I kind of got very Forrest Gumpian type of way of getting into the business. I had no interest. I kind of fell into it. But like I said, I was lucky enough in the beginning to do everything out here. Everything was happening out here because of who I was with in my circle. Started the path of doing a lot of my own things and producing a lot of my own stuff and getting involved. So the biggest thing for me that I commend most actors, even to this day, is it takes a lot of fucking balls. And
Yeah.
again, you had something at least to fall back on. I know a lot of guys that go out there from here don't know a person, they don't have a friend, they don't have a job, and they're going out there and pursuing their dream. And that would have been the hardest thing in the world for me, just to ditch all my friends, my family, all this stuff. It's like I'm going to Cali. So I mean, that again, even the fact that you had something lined up, thank God, that's what I commend a lot of most actors for, that do that. Because yes, if you have no background or experience or knowing what you're doing, obviously, if you're going to be either in New York or in LA, it's LA every time. to, yeah, 1,000,000%. So again, so all this stuff is great. I'm going to talk about some movies you did. I saw that you had a kind of a role in King Richard. You kind of segued it into, I guess, how you got that role. So you want to talk about how that happened?
Yeah, I mean, the whole King Richard story, not the story of the movie, but the story of me getting a role in it is a pretty good example of how up and down the acting world can be. Mm-hmm. So definitely my tennis background got me the audition, but it was with a big casting director. Obviously, we knew it was going to be a huge film. I think there were like six different scenes they sent us, and we had to prepare them all because there were all these different roles as like a tennis coach, a pro shop owner, all these different things. But I felt really, really good. It was one of those auditions that I left the room just going, hey, I nailed this. I really got this. And I'm passionate about the history of tennis. So I knew like all the references in there. This is my wheelhouse. I booked the role. I booked one of the roles, even had a wardrobe fitting, shoot date, and then COVID hit. So my shoot day was April 6th. And then I think everything shut down like in March, but I already had like everything set to shoot. Obviously at that point, we had no idea if the industry was going to come back soon or not. But then in the summer, I got a call from my agent saying they had dropped my role from the film. So I was pretty crushed as an actor. Then in October of, I guess, 2020, I got a call from my agent saying they wrote a new role. It's a smaller role, but they want you for that. And you're going to be shooting like in a week in LA. So I was like, wow, that's amazing to still get to be on set. Ended up shooting my role. I was waiting in my trailer from like 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. Nothing happened. I'm like, are they even going to shoot this? Then they had like a half an hour to shoot my scene. Everyone was stressed. Will Smith was in the room yelling at everyone, because he was also kind of he wasn't the director, but he was helping direct. And it was one of those, like, I waited all day, actually months, to shoot this. And then suddenly, you know, it was like 30 minutes and it was so like rushed and kind of stressful. But it was still great. I mean, I got to shoot. And then I honestly, you know, had no idea if my scene would make it into the movie or not. So finally at the premiere, I'm there with my manager, agent at Warner Brothers Studios, and I knew where my scene would have fit in, and it didn't make it into the final edit. So that was like one of these crushing, like, oh my gosh, I went through 2 years of booking it, having it dropped, booking another role, shooting it, and then my name was in the credits. So it was a great experience, but it was one of those, like, you know, as an actor, it's just roller coaster of emotions and disappointment, excitement, but then disappointment.
You get residuals and stuff, or no?
I get some residuals. I think I would have gotten a lot more.
Oh yeah.
If I'd been in it, but I do get some just because my name's in the credits. And
okay, listen, that's a great story. Yeah. Another lesson to people that are listening. I had gotten a role in I Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, and it was a fucking pretty substantial role with everyone, with Adam Sandler, with Steve Buscemi, with oh my God, the guy from King of Queens. I can't, his name escapes me right now. But anyhow, it was a great role. So I was like, oh my God, what a great experience. Yeah. This is going to be awesome. It was probably one of the funniest scenes I thought in a movie. And I'm like, oh, you got to wait till this comes out. It's great, blah, blah, blah. And the thing was literally cut down from me, like, to one, you know, me getting my barbecue broke and the ball they threw at me. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And that was it.
That was it. Yeah.
You go through the auditions, you do all the scenes, you do, you know, you're there all day, you know, you're getting, you know, you're signing these contracts, you know.
Yeah.
The last thing you think about is, wait, maybe I shouldn't say. And again, it's one, you know, pretty much one of the biggest roles you've done so far. You're excited, right? And again, it happened. So, I could totally relate.
And I think people outside of the industry don't really understand that.
No.
It's like you booked the movie, you've got your own trailer, your name's on the trailer. You seem like this pretty big deal. And then you realize how easily those smaller roles can just get cut in the editing room. And
right, because they like to just move the story along. Can we get rid of this? It's crazy. And, you know, and then you have people obviously saying, oh, you know, that's what you were bringing, you know. And then you have all the detractors, the haters, this, the that.
Yeah.
So I get it. What would you say if somebody listening that's trying to break into this business, would you, because you started back around 2012-ish?
Yeah. I mean, I moved to LA in 2000, or I moved, LA in 2014. And that's where I really feel like I could legitimately start calling myself an actor, about that time, where I was really seriously starting to train and network and audition a lot more in like TV film stuff.
What would you tell somebody listening who's just starting from scratch? What would be your words of wisdom or your advice for them to, where would they start? If they came to you and said, Jake, I want to be an actor today, what could you tell me?
I definitely realized when I moved to LA that I had to get, I had to get more experience and training. So I had a couple of acting coaches. I did as many workshops as I could. I auditioned for student films just to get on set. I needed to live and breathe the life of an actor. And, you know, obviously some people moving to LA or wherever, New York, have more of a background than I had. So that, you know, but I still feel like that, you know, you've got to get a coach, you've got to get training, you've got to do that. So that's one side of it. And I think the other is just be prepared for rejection. I mean, there's, you know, getting a callback it's easy to be disappointed. Like you get a callback and then you don't book the role, but that's a victory. The fact that you got a callback. I auditioned for a commercial the other day that there were 3,000 submissions for that one commercial. So the fact that I was one of, you know, maybe 75 that actually got an audition is already a victory, even though it's hard to see it that way if you're not actually booking the role. But callbacks, chemistry reads, even auditioning in the first place means you're doing something right. It means your materials, your profile, something's getting you in the door. But it's hard not to get, I mean, you're getting rejected. 20 auditions in the last couple of weeks, didn't book a single one. I mean, that's like 20 rejections. But I can't look at it that way. I've got to go, hey, it's already a victory that I'm auditioning quite a bit again after the whole strike and everything. So I think just mentally, you know, preparing, this is, I mean, obviously there's those actors that immediately book a big role but most of us, it takes years and time to, you know this.
Right. Are they doing regular auditions now in LA or are they doing on tape?
Commercials are going much more back in person. I think for TV film, most of the first rounds are still self-tape, but for callbacks and like chemistry reads, they're doing them in person again.
Yeah, I think that's better because, like I said, you know, as somebody that's been on this side, involved with production or directing or casting, you might like somebody and they just might have read the role totally the wrong way, but you don't even have the chance to say, listen, that's good, but try it like this and see if they can adjust. So, but like I said, that's totally it's still in New York, totally a thing. I mean, the day of, you know, going out, you know, waiting in a room, getting called in, that's out the window. I don't think that's ever going to come back personally over here. So I was just curious to see how it's going out there. But so, like I said, I saw that you have a new movie coming out that you worked on called Challenges.
Yeah.
Right. With Zendaya.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit, again, this is a movie about the Challenger circuit in tennis, which is the level right below like the main pro tournament. So kind of the minor leagues again. So this is a world that I am very familiar with. I know this world very well. So I think my tennis background, and I play a trash talking Swedish tennis player that trash talks one of the main characters in the movie. But again, they flew me to Boston. I was there for about a week. It was very cool. I didn't shoot every day, but the scenes that I was in was on a day that the weather, it was indoors. So they were waiting for a bad weather day. So that's why I was there for like a little over a week, but it was just really cool to be hanging out with the other actors. A lot of tennis players were on set as extras or as body doubles playing tennis. Brad Gilbert, who's a huge tennis commentator, I got to like hang out with him. And so for me as a tennis player, it was just like, this is a coolest movie to hang on set for. Zendaya was not in my scene, but she was also a producer on the film. So she was like in producer mode when I was shooting. Again, the movie, you know, I'm hoping my scene will be in there. It's another one of those
Yeah,
waiting,
right.
but it was, I mean, it was an amazing experience. No regrets with that. It was supposed to come out last September, but then with the strike, they put it off until April, this coming April. So it'll premiere sometime in April. I don't have the exact date because I think they might release it in Europe first and then in the States. But yeah, definitely excited to see if my see if my scene makes it.
That's awesome.
But it was a great experience. Definitely a speaking role, and I shot a lot of takes, so I hope one of them gets
Yeah,
it.
you'll be good. Just
Yeah, that's good.
again, you know what you did, so that's all that matters. What was your biggest screw it moment, Jake, that you did something and it worked out in your favor, where it could have went one way or the other? What would you say that would be?
Well, I mean, I think I have to say the big screw it moment was I don't care what my dad thinks or anyone else about pursuing, first of all, modeling, but then I kind of always knew I was hoping that that would lead to the acting. But instead of worrying about like what people would think, judge, I was just like, screw it, I'm going to do this. And I think it's worked out pretty damn well, to be honest. So, yeah.
I'm going to hit you with 10 questions.
Okay.
Some might be nutty, some might not be, some
Okay.
whatever.
Yeah.
Winning Wimbledon or winning an Oscar?
Oscar.
Really?
Yeah, I think at this point, yeah.
Really? Wow. I didn't think that. Being on set, person that made you the most intimidated.
I definitely think Will Smith because he was stressed out that day and was yelling at everyone and we obviously saw his temper a little bit on the Oscar stage as well. So, I was a little intimidated that day for sure.
Who's the actress or actor you'd wish to work with?
There, I'll go with Meryl Streep. I know that's the answer that a lot of people would say, but she's just so phenomenal in so many different roles. And I mean, that would be amazing to work with her.
The greatest female tennis player.
I have to go with Serena Williams.
The hottest female tennis player.
I still think it's Anna Kornikova. Do you
Oh,
remember
me too. I love
her?
that.
Yeah, I mean,
Do I remember her? I still think about her. I love Anna Kournikova. Yeah, it was my favorite. The male act you'd like to work with the most.
I like Ryan Gosling a lot. I just, again, his diversity of roles. We're a similar age. I could see us like going out for some of the same type of roles, but I think he'd be phenomenal to work with.
Your dream role.
Well, I've always said this. I would love a series regular on a TV series. I think the family that you kind of create with that film is, you know, your very finite amount of time. Hopefully, a series goes at least a couple of years. So I could see myself like on a Yellowstone or that type of a show. I would fit in, especially I grew up riding horses on a ranch in Utah. I mean, like that would be.
I mean, you're totally central casting for all that stuff.
Yeah,
You know
so that would be really fun, like a Western type of show that kind of goes back to my roots, but also a TV series with that, so that I kind of develop that relationship with other actors and have that family aspect.
the best film you've worked on in your career that you're most proud of?
Actually, it's one that I executive produced and I have the lead in. It's coming out this summer. I think just because I'm so personally invested in it. It's an indie feature where we're gonna try to get on the festival circuit, get it distributed somewhere. But I think because I not only played the lead role, but also I put so much blood, sweat, and tears into getting the film made that personally means a lot to me.
Your biggest regret in your career?
This was before I was union, so I was a non-union actor, and I shot a film where there was a nudity clause in it, but that they wouldn't show the what was released on Amazon Prime. They wouldn't show any of the nudity. It was just for like a special release, and then they totally, because I didn't sign a contract, it was a non-union thing. Then suddenly, I got to see all of me on Amazon Prime, which, you know, I'm okay with nudity, but like that was a kind of a shock to my family and others that weren't prepared for that.
Right.
So, and I, you know, just it was a good lesson in make sure everything is in writing. Everything now goes through my manager or agent, but at that time, you know, it paid well. I was like, shoot, I'll just do it. And I don't regret doing it, but I regret that I didn't get everything in writing and signed and so that they couldn't take advantage of me. So.
Okay, and finally, the your I made it moment. to you, like, wow, I can't believe I'm here, I'm doing it.
I think definitely just booking that role in King Richard, it was like, okay, like this has been worth it. I've made it. So, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You survived the 10 questions. I again,
Oh,
very good.
yeah.
So how do our listeners find you, Jake? And well, you know, how do we find you on social? You know, follow you what so that we know what's coming up, and how do we grab you in, you know, Instagram, or let's just name all of those, please.
Yeah, my social media handle for Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, I guess that's pretty much the ones I'm on, is Jake Jensen Media. So just all one word, lowercase, is just Jake Jensen Media. So that's, you can find me on all of the on socials with that. And then Jake Jensen, if you do that for IMDb, it comes up as well.
Awesome. So once again, Jake Jensen, thank you so much. And once again, if you dream, dream out loud, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Screw the Clout. Join us next week for our next amazing guest.